Welcome to the Highbury Squad. You can follow us on Twitter at Highbury Squad. In fact, it's the same on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and eventually iTunes. Join me, Sophie, aka at Soccer Diva, Amanda, aka at GoonaGirl1969, and our very special guest, Super Kev, Super Kevin Campbell. It's just like being down the pub with your mates.
Get on with it, will you, for God's sake. Bring out!
Shut up, Kevin. We should do it.
I think Rick should totally play this at the beginning of the show.
I think we should do it drunk one night. That would have been even funnier. Kevin Campbell.
Well, maybe
drunk.
Some of us are already.
Oh, so. That.
Bring out!
Kevin, drunk. Shut up. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Highbury Squad. We're back. We had a little break last week, but we're back with episode number 7. Today I have a full team with me. Very exciting. Hello, Soph. This is brilliant. Where is she?
She's hiding.
I just wanted to do that deliberately just to freak Amanda out. Hello, everyone.
Have you been on the mimosas?
Listen, when you wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning to watch the football, there are the odd Sundays where you do indulge in a mimosa early.
Oh,
yes.
My God. Right. Hello, Soph. Welcome to the pods.
Hello, Treacle.
You under
Hello, Treacle.
Control, darling. Right.
Yeah,
the
do.
Next one we've got is Mr. Kevin Campbell. Super Kev.
Hi, Amanda. Hi, Sophie.
Oh, my God. Okay, I'm going to apologise to the listeners now. I do feel Sophie's had a bit of a drink today. That's all I'm going to say. Anyway, we do have a really special guest who's come back. We've had a guest that's come back, Soph. You didn't meet him the first time, did you?
Excuse me.
Amazing.
Excuse me. I've just said, hello, ladies, how are you?
Yeah, and you ignored him.
Not even give me, blatant. All I heard was a bloody car bell ringing.
Yeah, exactly. And thanks, Kev, because, and then I got told off for being drunk, which, hello, is so speculatory. It's unbelievably
judgmental. Right, I'm doing this
judgmental.
Intro again because.
No, it's the best intro ever. Leave it.
God.
We don't have to correct ourselves. We are authentic. The truth is you didn't allow the welcome message for Kev to marinate and for us to say,
you said,
hello, my man. How are you? My favorite boy. Go on, Kev. What would you say to that?
I would say, love you, girls, love you.
Yeah, yeah. He's been on the bloody mimosas as well. Right. I would like
studio,
to. I would like. Just shut up, everybody, right? I would like to welcome our special guest who's come back, as I said before. Now, Sophie, you didn't meet him last time, and it was just me and Kev that chatted with him. So, hello, Mr. Myers. How are you?
I'm very Welcome. Good, thanks. I'm absolutely delighted to be back. And I've only been on the samosas.
Yeah, the you've been on the samosas. They've been on the mimosas. I've been on nothing.
Exactly. This is fantastic.
Oh, God, I can see this is going to be a tough one. Oh, my God.
Now I know I'm on. Now I know I'm back.
There you go.
Right, okay, let's get this show on the road. Right.
Indeed.
So, I've just come back from the Emirates. And we won again. That is 5 on the trot and 4 in the Premier League. I'm not sure I can remember saying that for the last couple of seasons, but maybe we have. I don't know. My memory's not so good. Yeah, unfortunately, just to let everybody know in case they don't, Mr. Myers is an Everton fan and we've just beaten them 2-0. So, I'm going to go to you, Kevin, first. What did you think of the lineup?
I thought the lineup was pretty strong. It was good to see Torreira in the starting 11. And personally, I think that's probably our strongest team. If I'm honest with you.
The way we
performed, my goodness. I thought Everton were by far the better team. Especially in the first half. And we relied on Petr Cech to pull us out the fire yet again. because without Petr Cech, we would have been two or three goals down. I thought they ripped us a new one.
Okay, so if you watched it, yeah?
I did. I watched every second.
So did you think the first 20 minutes Everton were all over us?
I did. I felt like the first half was really poor overall. To be honest, I thought the entire football game was a really poor advertisement for the Premier League. There was no real energy. None of the big superstar players showed up. When we did, it was late on, and granted, that works for us. But let's not allow the result flatter us, because the performance does really not dictate the 2-0. If Everton had world-class strikers, we probably could have been 4-0 down. Still problems at the back, yet we are seeing improvements. I actually felt, in terms of lineup, to answer your question to Kevin, because he never really answered it, but that's okay. I will say that Ramsey sometimes is an Achilles heel in this team, because sometimes I feel like we're trying to force him into the side versus allow the side to be organic. And I'm thinking, if Mkhitaryan is fit, I'm playing Ozil in that center role, and I'm playing Mickey and Aubameyang either side of Ozil with Laka down the middle. That would be my starting lineup. And I'm glad Torreira did play today. I think he allows Xhaka to be a better player, and I think we've seen the evidence in that. Yeah.
Alan, so what Sophie just said there is quite true. I thought that if you'd have taken your chances, if you'd have had a striker, you know, not even world class, but a striker, I think you could have been 2 or 3 nil up in the first half. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I think I've just been talking to a lot of Evertonians. You know, they're on the wake that we usually have for a couple of hours after a game, after a defeat at least. And I think it's about quality. First of all, the quality of the first goal, the lack of quality in our strikers, and the fact that we didn't have someone who could put the ball in the net when they should have done, and the quality of the officials, because I thought the second goal was clearly offside. Whether that makes a difference or not in the final result, who knows? But I just thought it was all about quality today. You had it certainly with the first goal. We didn't, and as I say, the linesman in particular let us down.
Yeah, it was offside for the second goal.
That was so bad.
Yeah,
that was so bad.
We never normally get
really
those,
bad.
Do we? So I was quite pleased, to be honest.
Shocking.
We always do. Quickly, but the wrong way.
Big L. Yeah. Don't forget as well, there was a handball on John Joe Kenny, which could have been given.
Yeah.
And the referee didn't give it. So it swings and roundabouts.
Okay.
Sometimes,
what, the penalty?
Yeah.
It wasn't a penalty. But it wasn't a penalty.
Yeah, it swings and roundabouts.
I know it is, Kevin, but that is not, that wasn't a handball. That's not a penalty. That was shot at him at close range. None of us thought it was a penalty. I mean, obviously the North Bank did, but we, you know, I spoke to quite a few people at that second, and my friend's a ref, and he said it's not a penalty. But
no,
what I'm saying is,
we've seen them given, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm not
yeah.
saying that it was. I'm saying we've seen them given. So,
yeah.
if the referee would have given it, you couldn't say it wasn't, because he moved his hand towards the ball.
Yeah. Ifs and maybes go both ways, don't they? I know that.
Exactly.
But the second goal was so clearly, I mean, it was a shocking decision. You know, you can't blame the referee, because he wasn't online. He couldn't see it, but the linesman should be seeing that. You know, I've seen some stills of it, and it's absolutely shocking.
Yeah.
But you know, the bottom line is Everton really should have been 2, possibly even more up. You know, and Kevin mentioned Cech before. Cech was fantastic today. You know, I know he's had his critics of late, hasn't he? But today he was first class. But we just, from an Everton point of view, we just need to have better quality in those positions. It's as simple as that. The difference that Richarlison made to our side today was, it was an education, really, because you just thought, wow, you know, the difference from the last 3 games when he's been missing, you know, it's a worry in some respects.
Okay, so we're going to talk about Lacazette. Lacazette's goal was just beautiful for us, Alan. It was just...
It was.
He, you know what? He epitomises everything that we want. And I'm pleased that now he's starting regularly. And also, as Kevin said, you know, Torreira starting, everyone just whooped when we found out. We were like, yes, yeah, finally. But I also believe that he's done the right thing, Emery, with Torreira. I do. I believe he's bedded him in. He hasn't thrown him in straight away. But I want to come to Sophie with something, because this is what was being discussed as we left the ground. People were saying that Ramsey and Ozil can't play together. And you mentioned Ramsey before. What's your take on that?
I think that they're both at times amazingly talented players that do incredible things for the team that can change a game. I also think that we're running into that kind of discussion for the England team, where everyone used to say Lampard and Gerrard couldn't play together because they nullified each other in so many ways. Personally, I don't see Ozil being the same kind of player Ramsey is in terms of those box-to-box runs that he makes. And in my opinion, sometimes when I see Ramsey at his best, he reminds me of a Gerrard. The problem I have with Ramsey is I feel like he disrupts the rest of the team and the rest of the balance. Because he makes those runs so often, I feel like some other players are always caught in that protection mode. And I would personally rather see somebody like Ozil playing behind Lacazette, Aubameyang on the left, Mkhitaryan on the right, and Ramsey coming off the bench or being in midfield if a Torreira or a Xhaka is injured. I feel like Xhaka and Torreira have the opportunity to really build a partnership. I think Guendouzi and Torreira are the future, but that is a long, long way away. And I feel like Ozil needs to really step up, because at least Ramsey shows effort in games. There were times today where Ozil's tracking back was pathetic and laughable. And even Lee Dixon brought it up a couple of times on the NBC broadcast here in the US.
Kevin, do you agree or disagree with what she's saying?
Yeah, no, I think there's a lack of balance in the team. I do. I think we've discussed that previously. Now, I think Unai Emery's got to make a decision. And he's got to make a ruthless decision. Look, there's still contract issues with Ramsey, so we don't even know if Ramsey's going to be there come January.
Mm.
But I think Unai Emery has to pick one of these players who is kind of a luxury. You can't have everyone. There's got to be one, and then you've got to build around that creative player. If he's going to be
Which one are you picking?
You want the truth?
Yes.
I'll pick Mesut Ozil.
100%.
That's who I'd pick.
There's a shock in it. I'd say that. Go on.
No, truthfully, I don't think Mesut Ozil has had the supporting cast to get the best out of him since he's been at Arsenal.
Santi Cazorla, Alexis Sanchez, Olivier Giroud, who's bringing out the best of Eden Hazard right now, his best start to any Premier League season at Chelsea. He hasn't had the supporting cast. Maybe he needs to support himself a little bit more to come alive in games, Kevin.
Let him speak.
I'm on about supporting cast in the midfield.
Mm.
Defensively especially. Because we know Ozil ain't tracking back, so he needs that support defensively. That's what he needs. And
a bit more responsible himself, as well as the support of his teammates.
So do you think he's the only one that played badly then? Because you keep mentioning him when there was quite a few that played badly today.
Don't put words in my mouth. I never said that. The question was directly about Ozil and Ramsey. And as Alan
but you're
would
talking
testify,
about... You're talking about Ozil tracking back, but there was quite a few today that were quite poor, if I'm honest.
Because Ozil was the conversation. That's why I mentioned Ozil. And if you want to ask me about the rest of the team, no, I don't think any of them tracked back properly. I don't think any of them played well at all. I thought Aubameyang had a really poor game in particular. I thought that the back four... I thought Rob Holding did really well when he came on, to be honest with you. And I think I would rather play Rob Holding than Mustafi. How about that, Alan?
Well, I was going to say, you know, I don't know whether you know, but that was the first clean sheet that Emery's got in the 7 games.
Yeah, we do know.
Yeah. And you know, all I ever hear are Arsenal fans talking about the offensive side of the team, which is great, you know, and that's Arsenal that through the years. You know, we know that the great players are always the offensive players. But you know, one of the greatest things that came from Arsenal with the Invincibles and with teams around that era was the defence. You know, was that great defence. But do you think the defence is a worry for you?
Yes, Alan. The problem is Wenger's left us with this defence, and it is a problem. I mean, Socrates is doing well, but it is a major problem. But
Socrates.
But it's really interesting you mention that, because my man of the match was Petr Cech. And I think he's kept us in so many games recently. The only thing I've got an issue with Emery with him is playing it out from the back. Cech doesn't look comfortable doing it. So why not play to Cech's strengths instead of doing something that he's not comfortable with? And we did have an issue with that a couple of games ago.
I thought he did better today, PG, because I thought there were a couple of times where he knew he was going to be uncomfortable and he hoofed it. And I was happy to see him hoof it. And I think if he can make those decisions at least two or three times in a game, to me today, he seemed the most comfortable with the ball at his feet.
He always made those awkward, decisions.
He does.
He looks almost as if he doesn't like doing it.
He doesn't. I don't think he does, Alan, and that's my issue.
Of course he doesn't.
Kev, what do you think on Cech? Can you see what I'm saying about him saving us in games at the moment?
Yeah, I could definitely see that. Look, he's got all the experience, hasn't he? He is still a fantastic goalkeeper. And asking him to do things that he's not comfortable with makes everybody uneasy.
Yeah.
It makes me nervous, man.
But Kev, one of the top three things that managers, coaches, director of footballs, whoever it is, look for now in a goalkeeper is the feet, because that's the game now, isn't it? It was one of the things that attracted Everton to Pickford, you know, because he's good with his feet, you know, and I think, is that a problem going forward if you're going to be challenge at the top?
No, when you consider, look, the Unai Emery's brought in Leno. Bernd Leno is going to be the number one and take over in the near future. Let's be brutally honest. But he's paying a lot of respect to Petr Cech and giving him the opportunity to play and to show his experience, which you're right, Sophie, today he was much better. There was times where he didn't take any chances, especially there was one late on in the second half where he's gone out, he's got the ball and it went out to the right hand side and he just put it out for a throw in and ran back into his goal. That will do for me.
Me too. Totally. Here, I have something for you guys, right? So I feel like this game, maybe last season or two games ago, it would have been more about Arsenal, right? And I think that we have won four games on the trot now in the Premier League, five all-encompassing. No one's talking about us. Everyone's left us alone. Only Adrian Durham on TalkSport still wants to have a little dig here and there about Ozil. But we're slowly going about our business. We're not great in defence, but what did we do today? We kept a clean sheet. Another milestone for the Arsenal under this manager. Each week, I believe, as bad as we've been and as we're progressing, we've reached a milestone here and there. A question for you guys. If I'm an Everton fan right now, and we'll start with Alan, I'm asking myself, we waited all this time for this geezer, this manager. Who is Marco Silva? What has he done? What does he have to offer? Look once again, the amount of the talent that Everton Football Club have. Yet there's this manager who is naively managing the team through these initial stages of the Premier League. And as an Everton fan, I'm thinking to myself, why are we having so many missteps in the managerial area when it's easy to point the finger at the players and the mismanagement of transfers, but really, shouldn't Silva be doing better? What is his problem?
Well, here's the thing. First of all, just to go on your point about Arsenal, I think you're fourth this year. I think after Chelsea, Liverpool, City, you are the next best team.
Really? What, over United and Spurs?
I think you'll be better than Spurs and Man United this season. I think, you know, especially if you add something in January as well. I just think there's something about you. I like the way you play. I like everything. But anyway, that's what I think about Arsenal. As far as Everton are concerned, listen, we're in a situation now where this is our fourth manager in 5 years or whatever it is, just over. You know, we can't get into this situation. We can't get into this problem where you're changing managers all the time, because just like Silva has the problem now, he's dealing with players that were not his. He's having to try and fit people in where he needs to fit them in. Yes, he's bought people. I mean, you know, the players he's brought in, I think on the whole, look decent, and they look like players. It's very difficult to tell at the moment with a couple of them because they haven't played yet. You know, I read somewhere the other day, you know, we're really depending on Mina, Yerry Mina. We haven't seen him. How can we depend on a player that we haven't seen yet? You know, so, but as I've just been having this debate a few minutes ago, you know, Silva has to be given time to establish his own team. He has to be given time to establish the way he wants to play. There are a number of issues why that isn't happening at the moment. Injuries, and they are self-inflicted because we bought 2-3 players who were injured, but there have been others in key areas. So that's the first thing. We've got to give him this time. But in the meantime, you have to pick up results. And forget Arsenal today. Arsenal is always a difficult game, no matter when you play them, no matter how you're doing, you know. But to play against Huddersfield, to play against Bournemouth, to play against West Ham when they were bottom of the league, you know, these are the games that he should be picking up results. And that's the concern for me, is that we're not picking it. There's 3 games to come now in Fulham and Southampton. Oh, no, Southampton's the cup. But there's 3 games. Crystal Palace, I think, is the other one, where they've got to pick up points now. They've got to start winning games, or else there will be a trouble. They will find themselves down the lower end. And then you've got to question those players, which, you know, most of them are the players that haven't performed in the last 2 or 3 years. It's as simple as that.
So do you think that your natives, your little Scouse natives, are going to give him time? Because I know a few Evertonians, and it's getting a bit, isn't it?
No supporters give managers time.
They should.
But they don't, though. They don't. I mean, you know, look at you guys with Wenger. You know, now, listen, Wenger.
We gave him way too much
years.
Time, Alan.
No, you did give him time. But what I'm saying is, you didn't want to give him time, did you? You know, the club gave him time. You didn't.
No,
you know,
after a certain amount of time, Alan, not straight away. It was.
No, not straight away. Yeah, but he'd already proved himself, hadn't he? You know what I'm saying? What I'm saying is, when you don't start, you know, when you start not winning, you know, the fans, and there's nothing wrong with that, because that's what fans pay their money for. But we live in a game now where people have got to give instant success. Now, you know, I see players now, young players coming in, and because they score one goal in a game, they're the next best thing, you know, since sliced bread. So it never worked like that, you know. And there's another problem that Everton have got. They've got lots of youngsters. You cannot bring lots of young. And I'm not.
Why is a 20-year-old? Why is a 20-year-old? Is Davies like a John Terry type? Is he inspiring men on the pitch? What was that move today?
I think I think the captain thing today was he had a bit of pressure, Davies, and I think the managers looked at him and think, right, okay, I'll give him the armband and see if that brings him out to be take a bit more responsibility. I think that's what that was about, because he had much more senior players like Sigurdsson, even Michael Keane, you know, should really have been before Zouma. You could have given it to him. Okay, he's new in the team, he's on loan, all the rest of it. But as a captain for the day, but I think maybe.
But those are the kind of decisions, Alan, for credibility as a manager that players take notice of.
Yeah, it is. That is true. But at the same time, if it worked and it brought out the best in Tom Davies, and in fairness to him, he had a decent game today, Tom Davies. But if it brought the best out of him, well, it works. But it didn't, because we got beat 2-0. But my point is that you cannot, you know, we live in a society, in a game, not society, but a society as well. But we live in a game now where time isn't given. It just isn't given. And that's why it's important that he gets some results. Evertonians are quite good in understanding the game. You know, they're up there with the Arsenal fans and with other fans at clubs where they understand, they know the score. You know, they're not stupid, unrealistic thoughts. And Everton fans have to understand that, but they have to see something changing and something, you know, building. They have to see a way of playing. They have to see, which they haven't felt that that's been happening over. You know, you can see now a change in the Arsenal team, I think. I think you can start to see how Emery maybe wants to play, you know, after so long under Arsene Wenger. But Everton fans have to see with Silva over the next few months something that's saying, yeah, okay, that's what he wants to do. May not be working, but he has to pick up results on the way, and that's as simple mm-hmm. as that.
Okay, so I'm just going to change it slightly, Alan. The news came out in the last week, none of us are really shocked about, the fact that Ivan Gazidis is off to, is it AC Milan? I can't remember which one it is.
Yeah, AC Milan.
I'm not upset by it, if I'm honest. I don't think, well, I'm not going to go into it, but I'm not shocked. Kevin, what's your take on him going? Are you upset or not really?
Not bothered. To be honest, I truly believe a lot of the bad times Ivan Gazidis has had his hands on the club.
Yeah.
And ever since the changing has started to happen, it's funny. People are talking about Ivan Gazidis was behind the change. Well, if he was behind the change, he wouldn't be going anywhere.
Exactly.
So for me, this is thanks for nothing and see you later. Arsenal move on. I'll be honest with you. I'm not worried about it one little bit.
Soph?
You know how, like, when you're at a wedding and you're wearing a really nice dress and something jumps off your plate and it stains your dress for a really quick second, and then you just rub it off with a little bit of water, and at the beginning you're panicking, and then you realize, well, what the heck, there's nothing I can do about it, it's just going to be there for the rest of the night. That's how I feel about Ivan Gazidis.
Okay. Right. Yes. Right.
Well, I know exactly the feeling, so.
Yeah.
Thanks, Alan.
When you wear a nice dress, Alan, yeah?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go, in a dress.
Oh, there's a thought.
Yeah, it'd have to be a blue and white one, though, wouldn't it?
I'm just going to mute for the moment while I throw up one, but give me a minute.
Don't have to mute. Sophie never mutes.
But can I just say something on that? You know, I come from a time, and you know, you mentioned before I was the oldest of the lot. Thanks for that. But I come from a time.
So rude, Amanda.
I remember a time in football when people who run the club, we didn't even know who they were. We didn't know who the chairman was. Never mind a CEO. You know, we didn't know anyone else but the manager and the players. That was my time. But nowadays, CEOs in particular are so important and so crucial to everything that, you know, and in a strange way, they have less of a relationship with the managers these days. Years ago, it used to be the manager and the general manager or whatever they were called, the CEO, you know, but now it's so crucial. And you see certain clubs, look at David Gill at Manchester United, how great that club was. When David Gill was, in that position. And I think it's really crucial for Arsenal now that they get that right and that position, because it is a massive, massive position now in a football club.
Well, the thing is, Al, I was at a supporters event in June or July, and he introduced us to Emery as a 200-300 of us there. And he spoke about the club like he was in love with it. It's an honour to work here, and you should, everything. He just went on and on. I've always said he's like a politician anyway. Great at spin. And I'm not upset he's going, to be honest. And you're right. We never used to know who was who, but he comes to these events twice a year and we sit and listen to him, and it goes on to the same thing. But you know what? Wish him well. Off he goes. Right. So Thursday night we played Vorskla, this Ukrainian side. Vorskla. In the UEFA Europa League. See how old I am, UEFA. When I got to the ground and I got to my row, I had a whole row of empty seats. A whole row. Do you know how long that is? I could have sat anywhere I wanted. Now, it is a European Cup. Whatever way you look at it, it is a cup we could possibly win. There was no snow. There was no pouring of rain. It's a Thursday night. Now, I think Arsenal need to do something about this. The fact that these seats could have been given out to the local schools, there's hundreds and hundreds of kids that want to go to this match. But because they make it so awkward to either sell your seat on, you can't even do that, or the ticket exchange, you've got to be a member, or whatever it is. If I reckon there must have been 20, 25,000 in a 60,000 seater. And the atmosphere was dead. Everything is dead. And again today, I mean, there was no atmosphere today. And it wasn't obviously as empty, but it still wasn't packed today. And, you know, it's upsetting, really. So, Soph, what would you do? What do you think would be the best thing to get people's come into the ground?
I think in instances like that, you really do have to look at creating a scenario where tickets are like £10 or you're giving them away to families, kids,
charities, anywhere,
academies, charities, anywhere. Everyone was having a go at Manchester City in the Champions League. And you'd say to yourself, wow, in the Champions League, there really is no excuse for empty seats. But for some reason, City fans haven't resonated with the Champions League. It's the one trophy they want to win the most, yet their fans never show up. And it's always like a morgue in there. It was a morgue on Thursday. It was a morgue today. You have to inspire the fans. And right now, Arsenal fans are uninspired. Football fans are uninspired. They are seeing players being paid much more wages every single week. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying the perception is social media may have brought fans together closer in conversation, but the fact that it used to be the working man's sport and there was a connection between the fans and the players, that doesn't exist anymore. And so the longer that this kind of goes on, the more fans are going to stay away from the game. My cousin, for example, today he was on his couch. He's a season ticket holder. He didn't go to the match. Why didn't you go to the match? Until the team improves and until I've spent thousands and thousands of dollars going to the Arsenal, they don't seem to care. Why should I? There are a lot of fans like my cousin. I'm not saying it's right, but they exist. It's happening in football right now.
Okay, so Kevin, if you were playing in front of that crowd, and obviously we did have small crowds at Highbury, but it's a little bit different nowadays, how would that have made you feel on Thursday night?
Look, it's a game for the Arsenal, and you're motivated no matter what. But when you know that the crowd are not taking it serious, because that's what, when the crowd don't turn up, that means they're not taking it serious. It's all very well turning up in the latter stages of a cup competition, you know, when it's prestige.
Yeah.
But we really need, the team needs the fan base at every stage to help build the confidence of the team. And I think it's so tough for these players to play in an empty stadium, because the Emirates is huge.
Yeah.
When there's 25,000 empty seats, it looks terrible. And the atmosphere is eerie. So as a player, I wouldn't like it. I've never liked empty stadiums. And how do you address it? It might, they've got to address safe standing. I'll be honest with you. They've got to address safe standing, because if stadiums are going to be empty, then you might as well have a safe standing section where people could just pay on the gate and go in for a fiver or something. And at least that will generate an atmosphere.
Okay. Alan, obviously you worked at Everton for a while. What can be done to, with the season tickets, with the loyalty? You know, I went, someone I go with, yep, isn't going to go on Thursday nights. He just says, I'm not going until we progress, which is what,
right,
Kevin's saying. So yeah, what can be done? Because, you know, there are hundreds and hundreds of kids and families that are on low income budgets, aren't they, that would have loved to have gone Thursday evening and taken, right, the children.
Okay, so here's the thing. There's a number of issues here, I think. And it's the age-old argument. First of all, you know, do the fans get the players going? Do the players get the fans going? Me, personally, I'm one for the players should get the fans going all the time. Mm. You know, fans will respond if players get them going. That's just the issue with regards to players and fans on the pitch. But this is this argument, this discussion is a lot more deeper than that with regards to Thursday night. And you mentioned the Manchester City thing. I actually spoke with the Manchester City Supporters Club the other day in my day job. And they said that they'd rather win the Premier League than the Champions League. The owners wouldn't. The owners want the Champions League, but the fans want the Premier League. That's what they told me. So here's the thing. If you went the other night, didn't you? You paid your money and you went.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, so if some guy comes and sits next to you and say, oh, I work for, I'm on a local charity thing, I've got this ticket for nothing, how do you feel?
I would feel that it's bums on seats, Al, and we need the atmosphere.
Really?
And I would think it would be a nice thing if he couldn't afford to go, because mine's included.
Yeah, I get that. I understand that. There are instances, and I think a lot of clubs do those sort of things anyway. But you cannot devalue the price of a ticket for the paying fan. You know, you cannot do that. It's a really dangerous thing to do. And, you know, don't get me wrong, there's got to be a certain amount which are for charities and for those people that you talk about. But once you start giving them away to fill stadiums, that's when you devalue the price of your ticket, and you devalue your supporter, your genuine supporter who pays to go every week and support the team. Now, the way around that, for me, and the big crux of the problem, is the format of these competitions. Why do they have group stages in these competitions?
Yeah, I was thinking.
Why
that.
Don't they just have knockout competitions like they used to do, which were very exciting? People know, you know, people, some team, who was,
money,
who you were playing on Thursday nights, you know, and they come here and they should never be anywhere near European competition. I'm sorry, but they shouldn't be, you know, unless they've won their league or, you know, they've done something which, you know, which is extra special. But a lot of them are like second, third and fourth. You know, it's not the way to run the competition. And it was interesting this week when they announced that they're looking at another competition to bring in. You know, it's too much football for people. People can only afford so much football and they only want so much football. You know, many years ago, we never had all this business around football. During the week, all the news stories, the, you know, there's something spectacular every day now about football, whether it be, you know, I don't know, whatever story you want to, you know, there's always a story. By the time we get to the match on a Saturday, we're shattered. You know, we're not ready for, you know, the football's almost secondary, you know. And
yeah, but
and
Alan, they don't care about the fan going through the turnstiles anymore. They care about fans like me who are living in LA. That's who they care about. That's where the money is.
Well, that's it. And you know, funny enough, at Everton, when I was at Everton four or five years ago, you know, one of the things that we really, really concentrated on was the local bums on seats fans, because we wanted to fill that ground every week. And we had a task force, you know, with a number of people within the club from different departments, media, from, you know, community, from commercial, from, you know, and we used to meet for what we called, you know, at-risk games where, yeah, okay, listen, Liverpool, Arsenal, Chelsea, Manchester, we would sell that, no problem. But other games, we had to meet and come up with ideas of what we can do to get those seats filled. Because as you said, Amanda, and as Kevin says, it affects the players, it affects the supporters who are there paying their money, you know, it's, and especially in such a big stadium like the Emirates. The Emirates is a massive stadium and it tells when you, you know, but my worry about giving seats away is don't devalue the price of that ticket and that and your supporter. You know, you are, you know, you show a lot of loyalty to that football club because of what you pay and all. Be careful what you do in that respect, because it's, you know, it can turn very, very quickly for a club.
Totally agree with Al. You got to make sure that you're still taking care of the supporter that goes through the turnstiles week in, week out. All right, kids, it's time for a little agree or disagree. I'm in charge now, Amanda. How do you feel about them apples?
I actually think you've been in charge the whole time, but carry on. That's fine.
I wonder where Kev is. Is Kev still alive? Hello?
I'm here.
Right, just checking. All right, here we go with agree or disagree. I'm going to ask the question and I'll go around and everyone answers at the same time. Not at the same time, but one after the other. Okay, Al, we'll start with you. Alexandre Lacazette is the number one player on the Arsenal team sheet right now. He is the first name on there. Agree or disagree?
Agree.
Amanda?
Agree.
Kev?
Yep, I agree. Super
Lacazette. All right. I like it. All right. If the Dallas Cowboys are America's so-called team, then Wolves could become England's team and the team that we all fall in love with. Al, agree or disagree?
Ooh,
that was a big sigh. Big sigh from Al that will cause some technical issues in the edit suite.
Disagree.
Disagree. Amanda?
No, disagree.
Kev.
100% disagree.
Okay. Eric Dyer's last name is completely appropriate. Alan.
Disagree.
Lander.
Agree.
Kev.
I agree.
Now spot the man who works for Sky.
Exactly. Now spot the man who's not an Arsenal fan.
No, Amazing. He's an ex-Everton player, so I'm saying no.
Oh, okay, get it now.
All right, not that this is the Spurs bash corner, but it has to be said, the Spurs turquoise kit is one of the biggest football fashion disasters in the history of football kits. Alan, agree or disagree?
Agree.
Amanda?
Agree.
Kev.
Unanimous.
All right. All right. Firmino is Liverpool's most important player since Luis Suarez. Al. Agree
disagree.
Ooh. Amanda.
Disagree.
Ooh. Kev. He knows
disagree.
All right. I'd like to know which player. We can come back to that. Sergio Aguero is now in the Gianfranco Zola, Eric Cantona, Thierry Henry and Alan Shearer conversations when you're talking about the greatest that have played in the Premier League. Al.
Always has been. Agree.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Kev.
Unanimous. I agree.
We're all agreeing.
That's it, host. Back to you. Too much agreement on that front. And I'd like to know from each of you, who's the more important player than Firmino since Suarez left?
Well, for me, it's Virgil van Dijk.
Yeah, oh, I was going to say that. It's exactly
we
what
all
I was
agree on
say.
That one.
Yeah.
He's been there 2 minutes. 2 minutes.
And look what he's done for them. Look what he's done for them.
He's been there 2 minutes, but they waited about 10 years for him.
Yes.
Yeah.
We could have done with VVD, that's for sure.
Yeah. We could have done with a lot. Yeah. All right. Amanda, I've got one more for you. Now, there's a lot that's been going on, Alan. Sometimes we've got to keep these kids in check. Yep. I don't know if you heard the show a couple of weeks ago, but Amanda was the not victim. I would hardly say victim, but she actually was the perpetrator in causing football treason, changing her football pick the day of the game. And something else has come to light. And so it has made me create a housekeeping segment on the Highbury squad. And Al, the only person I feel like that can help this week is you, because Kevin Campbell had made his pick for the Everton game. And because Amanda also had the same prediction, Mr. Super Kevin Campbell, who has scored so many wonderful goals in front of the Goodison faithful, changed his pick, sent a video, which I had to witness and then post to social media. And I'm just wondering what your thoughts are on that when he lambasted Amanda for changing her pick. And now he, because she chose the same pick, did exactly the same as her. I don't know if any of that makes sense, but that is our housekeeping issue. Please continue.
Well, I think once you say something, you should stick by it, no matter who you are and when you do it. You know, it's as simple as that. But as Kev will know, there are no mates in this game. So,
Mr. Myers, a woman's prerogative is to change her mind.
We're not talking about you, Amanda. We're talking about Super Kevin Campbell right now. He lambasted you, think about this, for changing your pick. And he did the same this week.
So the change is not changing is not the issue, really. The issue is having a go at somebody for changing when when you change yourself.
He's just done it. Yeah.
But may I say the reasons that Kevin changed his pick are a little different to Amanda's. And I will go on record as to say to this before I hand over to the man on trial here today, is that he changed his pick because Amanda picked the same. Amanda changed her pick because she saw the team sheet. Very different. All right, Super
Very
Kev.
Different. And what I have to tell you is this.
What is it? Better be good.
I put my video up and I got...
Up where?
Up on the WhatsApp. Our joint WhatsApp.
Okay.
Yeah? Same 3-1.
Not public then. So no public.
No, right? mine so was public.
Okay. Sorry? Sorry?
Mine was public, though.
Public where? My, if I hadn't seen it. It was it a video?
No, it wasn't a video. An Everton forum asked me for some questions, and they asked for my...
It was an Everton forum you'd done it for. Excuse me, I'm talking, so can I say my...
Yes, you're the one on trial, not He's Amanda so for once. Bossy. Amanda is actually not the one on trial
just listen,
for once.
If you just listen. So I put my video up like I always do, saying 3-1. I get a snooty message. No, let's be honest. Saying from Amanda, saying I chose 3-1 is mine. I chose 3-1.
I never said that. I laughed and went, we've got the same predictions. I've got 3-1. And you went all hussy-pussy and went, oh, I've got to change it now.
No.
Honestly,
listen,
it's like having a naughty brother.
I could screenshot the thing and send it, so I've got no problem with that.
Go on then, go on.
So what I'm thinking of is this. If Amanda's got 3-1, I'm not choosing 3-1 because I've got to choose something different. Remember, I'm only putting it on there. So I respected Amanda's privilege that she'd already got it on the forum and it's 3-1. So I changed my pick. That's all.
Yeah. Can I just jump in here? Because is it relevant in any way, shape or form that you were both wrong?
Big Al. Big Al. I'm making my prediction. Amanda's making a prediction.
Exactly,
Amanda,
Alan. Of course he can have the same one. Thank
yes,
you, Alan.
In this instance. Excuse me. Order.
Your friend has said that we could, and he's the one. He's the judge. So thank you, Alan. You're wrong, Kevin, and move on.
I wasn't necessarily saying you can. What I was saying was, why can't you? That's what I was saying.
There's no reason you can't.
Rule.
No.
We need Walter Welbeck. I mean, who'd have thought it?
No.
So can I just ask a question then?
No, you're guilty. You're guilty, Kevin.
No, a guilty man's got a chance to ask a question.
Yeah.
No, it depends which society and what era we're living in.
Okay. Yeah. So because I chose 3-1, does Amanda jump down my throat because I chose 3-1?
Oh my God,
if it's
jump
okay to
down.
Use it, jump, why don't you?
Jump down your throat. I just
I
laughed.
Her.
That is a good point, to be fair.
No, Alan, yeah. I did not jump down his throat.
No, in defence of Amanda, I do not believe I saw her jump down your throat in our WhatsApp group, Kevin Campbell. I do not believe
it's
that.
Not my fault.
Even though
your perception was wrong, Mr. Campbell, is it?
Yes. So anyway, this segment is now over. Housekeeping, baptism of fire, huge introduction right there. Kevin Campbell, also guilty of football treason, and may I go on record, in the presence of our guest, Alan, that I am the only one so far on the Highbury squad who is yet to commit football treason.
Anyway,
Amanda, over to you.
I'm moving on from this segment, and we're going to...
Wonderful segment.
We're going to discuss... Shut up. We're going to discuss Watford away. No, Watford at home on Saturday. Another home match. I'm going back to the Emirates on Saturday. Kevin... Now, you can do your prediction first, and whatever you choose...
I'm predicting nothing. I'm seized up.
I ain't predicting nothing, because I'm 8 years old. I'm 8 years
this
old, and I'm having a tantrum. See?
No, Watford, it's going to be a tough game. It's going to be a tough game.
No,
and,
it's not.
I'm predicting 2-1, Arsenal.
Okay, right. Alan, who have you got the weekend?
I predict a riot at the moment. we play Fulham next weekend.
Oh
yes, you're at home, aren't you, next
weekend?
We're
at home to Fulham. Now, what you have to know about this fixture is, historically, the home team always wins. I think it's only happened once that hasn't, you know, that wasn't the case in about 54 years, I think. By the way, did you know that Arsenal have beaten Everton 97 times? In the history, which is 11 more than any other team.
I actually did know that.
Well, there you go. But no, I'm looking at Fulham and I'm going for a 2-0 victory for Everton. And as far as Arsenal Watford are concerned, I'm going 3-0 Arsenal.
Oh, Alan.
Another clean sheet.
3-0. Sophie, what's your prediction in 2 seconds, not like 10 minutes?
That sounds like a little bit of a dig, like you think I take too long with my predictions. But sometimes you have to articulate how you feel about certain things.
There we go. Sophie, what's your prediction for Saturday, please?
Okay, so I love that we got a clean sheet. It would be great to have another one. But I'm going to go for a 3-1 to the Arsenal. Was that quick enough for you guys?
Perfect. Now, I am going 2-2 because Watford aren't a bad side. And we're not great, so I'm
going
to.
Bite your tongue.
I'm sorry. I'm allowed to go for a draw if I want. I did say when we were talking about the 8 or 9 fixtures coming up that we wouldn't lose any of them. So far, we haven't. So let's continue that in that
I
vein.
I think we all said that.
Oh, I don't know, but I remember saying it. Anyway, moving on. What's next? Alan, have you enjoyed being with us this time?
Been a bit prickly today.
It's been great. I love it when you all start to fight with each other. It's great.
I remind you of being in the crowd at Everton at Goodison.
Amazing.
The favourite moment of the whole thing is when you say shut up, Amanda, because it's just so EastEnders, it's unbelievable.
I'm not a Cockney, I'm from Essex.
Your chat app is brilliant.
Did you just say you're not a Cockney?
No, I'm not. I'm from Essex. It's not the same thing, darling.
Isn't that?
No.
Okay, fine. All right. What's Kev's prediction?
It's the same. When you're a Northerner, it's the same. And
I know. Everyone's a Cockney, aren't they? I know. Yeah, I know. Sure. But we're not. So, Alan, do you think that, although you think that you're going to beat Fulham 2-0, do you think you're going to go on a little run now? Have you looked at your fixtures?
Well, listen, I think we have to. You know, we've got 3 games, as I say. I think it's I'm trying to remember who the other one was. It was Crystal Palace, Fulham and off the top of my head I can't remember who the third one is. I don't know whether that was a clue or not, but anyway, the big problem for Everton, right, which is important to say, is that we've not replaced Lukaku since, you know, in the 4 years or 3 or 4 years that he's been gone. And until they do that, they're going to struggle. You know, we need a goal scorer. I like Tosin. I think he will score goals at some point. But, you know, we need quality. You know, when we tried to get Giroud, you know, that would have been the difference, I think. But we haven't done it. And that's not right. We need to do that. And until we do start to get some goals, we're going to struggle. It's as simple as that.
Well, we wish you well for the season, and we've loved having you on. And
it's been great.
You've enjoyed yourself. That's your second time.
It is my second time. It wasn't, I have to say, it was a bit more feisty than the first time. It was a little bit of a loving, wasn't it, with Big Kev?
And me. This is what happens when Sophie comes on. It's like fireworks, honestly. This is what goes on.
I love fireworks.
Thank you. As long as you feel like the second time was better than the first time. That's the most important thing.
It is.
It always is. Yeah.
He's not a virgin podcaster anymore with us. We'll get you on again now next year when we come to Goodison, yeah?
I can't wait.
Ah, brilliant. So
we should do it from somewhere. We should do it from the Winslow pub. How about that, Kev?
Oh, well, I'll be coming up. So let's do it up there then in the podcast.
That as well.
Big Al, behave yourself.
It's all gone Pete Tong today, let's admit it. It's fantastic.
Right.
Brilliant, Big Al.
Okay.
No problem.
Love you, mate.
Fantastic. Thank you for coming on. Obviously, after losing as well. It's not easy. I've done it before. I was on a Liverpool podcast when we'd lost 4-0, so I know exactly what it feels like.
Listen, as the great Howard Kendall used to say, forget the defeats and enjoy the victories.
Exactly. And we're victorious from having you on. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Right. I'd like to thank Kev and Soph. I'll see you next week. And as I always say, always Arsenal.
Welcome to the Highbury Squad. You can follow us on Twitter at Highbury Squad. In fact, it's the same on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and eventually iTunes. Join me, Sophie, aka at Soccer Diva, Amanda, aka at Guna Girl 1969, and our very special guest, Super Kev, Super Kevin Campbell. It's just like being down the pub with your mates.